I want to be a jack of many trades, pretty much. No pun intended with the Jack Sparrow, but I want to be into everything, and I really do pick up stuff all the time, you know, the website stuff, but I also, you know, picked up acting. I'm going to be doing bull riding next summer. I've worked with dogs, you know, anything that I've ever had a small interest on, like pirates being, I wanted to be a pirate back in the day, and, you know, I want to be one of the good pirates, and I became a pirate as an adult, and, you know, people always say grow up, but, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. It's not, you can accomplish anything, you just expect it. You can accomplish anything you put your mind to, even silly things like becoming a pirate or a cowboy or something like that, so...
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 73, with serial entrepreneur and professional impersonator, John Borsma.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. My name is JC Preston, and my co-host in this session is Layla Ramadian. So glad you can join us today. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their own personal freedom. And in this podcast released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle you're proud of. This session is brought to you once again by Fizzle.co. You know, ever since I was in college, I always thought it would be a great idea to have an online school for people who wanted to start a business. You know, the world really doesn't prep you for doing that. It makes you an employee. And as I've continued down my path, I've discovered that I'm not the only one who believes that there should be something like this. You know, for the longest time, I thought I was going to have to be the one to make it, though. And because what's really out there, as I found, is our courses that you're going to have to pay a small fortune to take. And unfortunately, most people interested in starting their own business really can't see themselves investing $1,000 or more into something they don't know will work. And, you know, I think that's a simple product of the times we live in. And many of us don't believe things unless we see it ourselves. You know, what's great about Fizzle is a couple of things, really. And for one, you'll only pay a fraction of what you would for most courses out there. I mean, you really, really can't beat $35 a month. And also, there's more than one course on there. Everything from picking a topic to learning how to be more productive to learning what your potential clients actually want. I mean, it's all in there. And the best part, I think, is that the place is full of real people like you and me who are simply starting their own indie business. And for one, you know, they know they're not alone. And two, they know that the people who are in there with them are actually taking action to get something off the ground. You know, it's one thing to be part of a free group on Facebook, but it's entirely different to feel you're part of a community has your back if things start to hit the fan. Anyhow, check it out today for free for 5 weeks at newinceptions.com/fizzle. And by the way, as of this recording, they are looking for a web designer to come on board. And if you feel you have what it takes to help them out and be part of a great team, I'd get in touch with them before too long. I'd actually recommend trying to get in contact with Steph Crowder. And you can do that by just emailing support@fizzle.co. So yeah, again, check them out. 5 weeks free at newinceptions.com/fizzle. Now, in today's really, really fun session, Layla and I get the chance to talk with a charismatic serial entrepreneur by the name of John Borsma. John is a pretty interesting guy. Being the oldest boy of seven siblings, he grew up in a homeschooled household, and he's been an entrepreneur since an early age, and most recently he's figured out a way to make what most would call cosplay a business. Today, John finds himself leading up several initiatives besides his impersonation business, including a program he calls Business to Arts, Arts to Business. And he's also the founder of Super Gains Fitness, which utilizes personalities to get the best results for its clients. In this chat, we discuss what inspired him to impersonate Captain Jack Sparrow in the first place, how much of his work was learned from formal education versus being self-taught, and we dive a bit into how knowing about the four basic personalities have helped him in his career and how others can apply the same info into their lives. Show notes are available at newinceptions.com/73, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to today's show. I'm JC, she's Layla, and today we're here with our guest, Jonathan Borsma. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing great.
For those of you who don't know John, he's a serialpreneur who, in his part-time, actually impersonates Johnny Depp, and specifically the Captain Jack Sparrow. And some of his most recent projects include Super Gains Fitness, Horizon, which involves video and website work, and also the Arts to Business and Business to Arts project, which he does there. Is it up in Chicago, or is that any specific place?
Yeah, I mean, it's really actually internationally and really over all over the country.
Okay,
so.
Okay, cool. So, but yeah, man, I mean, it sounds like you got a lot of things going on.
Definitely, yeah.
But kind of let's jump back to where it all began. Where did your education start? I mean, were you a normal, like, primary schooler, or not primary schooler, but, you know, month K through 5, K through 12? What happened there?
Actually, I was homeschooled up until my junior year of high school.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to high school. I was put into high school my junior year, which was huge culture shock for me, and then I actually finished out my high school at military school.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So did you go 1 year normal high school and then your last year in military? Is that how it worked? Or
yeah, I finished and graduated from military school.
Wow.
So I graduated a year early, though, so that was great.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm obviously, that was a culture shock. You know, I was always kind of threatened with being sent to military school. Was that something that was very set into you that too, or?
Yeah.
I mean, that was not something that I was really wanting to do. But there was talk at the time. I was thinking about going into the military, so it kind of worked out, and it's what my counselor suggested I do, and it worked out pretty well, and it actually got me from being really scrawny to a little bit more in shape, I guess.
Okay. So. Cool. One of the things that we were talking about was right there at the intro was the fact that you have been doing this impersonation of Captain Jack Sparrow. You know, I've always had a huge interest in pirates myself, all the way back to when I was little, you know, the whole Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney. And then later for me, it was in college that I became the Purdue Pirate and was always in the front row at home Purdue games. And this is when we actually had a decent team at Purdue. Tell me where your, I guess, infatuation with Captain Jack came and where that's taken you.
Well, similar to you, I mean, I've been obsessed with pirates since very young, the history of pirates and everything like that. So when finally a pirate movie came out, like a really good pirate movie, besides like, you know, the old, like, you know, Treasure Island and stuff like that. But, you know, it was really awesome. I loved the character. I remember walking around like the character. Mom's like, you can't walk around like that. He's acting all drunk and stuff like that. It wasn't until the fourth movie came out, actually. It came out probably a few weeks before my 21st birthday, and I had done the Mad Hatter cosplay or costume from Johnny Depp for a previous movie that had come out, for the Alice in Wonderland, and somebody's like, you should do Captain Jack Sparrow. I always wanted to do it, but I never got around to it. So I put a ton of money and time, and I made my entire costume and actually got into the character. So yeah, it was awesome. I went to the opening night. I went to the restaurants and the bars beforehand as Captain Jack Sparrow. I was paying with gold coins. I got a bunch of golden dollars, so I was paying with that all night. And people loved it so much that I'm just like, I have to do this more often. I can't just stop here. So, and that's where it really blew up, and it ended up going into, you know, tons of different business opportunities, and I've been all over the country as Jack Sparrow now.
That's awesome.
Captain.
Wow. That's so great, because, like, I worked for Disney as an intern for a little bit, and my friends, they got to work at the Pirates of the Caribbean, ride in Disney World, and they always talked crazy stories about how cool it was to see the not real Jack Sparrow, not Johnny Depp, but like the actors. And
yeah.
Oh my gosh, like, because they have this thing right now at Disney World where they do a slight reenactments with the group, and but it's just like amazing how, because I heard about his story that he came on set in his own character, his own style, and I could be wrong or not, correct me if I'm wrong, but he came up with his character.
Yeah, he did. He based it off of a few different actual real pirates and actually musicians and some stuff throughout the ages. In fact, Keith, it wasn't Keith Urban.
He was an actor.
He was an actor, and he actually plays his dad. And I can't remember the name of him right at the moment, but he plays his dad in one of the later movies.
Yeah.
But yes, he did create his own character. He really created the costume himself. Lots of the items you see on Jack Sparrow's costume are actually items that Johnny Depp owns that are antiques or like rings that are thousands of years old and stuff. So it's very, very interesting building and designing the costume myself. I got to learn about all the actual specifics and the actual backstory of the character that not a lot of people know about.
Is there any particular like website that people can go if they were interested in putting one together? Because I know that as far as Star Wars lore goes, I forget exactly what that site's called at the moment, but I know that they can go.
The 501st Legion.
Yeah.
The one that actually helped me a lot, and I actually give a shout out, I guess his name's Captain Jack Savvy. He helped me a lot with it. Each Jack Sparrow kind of has their own, and Jack Sparrow impersonators have their own kind of like name for themselves. Mine's Long John Sparrow. So, and then everyone kind of has their own, so that way you know the different ones, and you're not like stepping into each other's pirate territory, I guess.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I've ran into one before by accident, and it was an awkward but very funny experience. So. While I was dressed up, we were both dressed up. But anyways, it's the replica prop form. I love the form, our RPF form. Any costume, any kind of reenactment stuff you want to do, from like movies to war reenactments to replica remaking, recasting, any of that stuff, superhero costumes. It's really awesome. Community, it's a form-based community, and everyone posts pictures of what they do and like do it. And in fact, if you look up like Long John Sparrow RPF on Google, you'll be able to find my thread on there about like how I documented the entire thing from making the leather hat to sewing the coat and all that stuff. So you can actually find the documented process of how I made things. So if anyone ever wanted to do that, they'd know about how much it cost and you know where to go from there. Wow. So
that's exciting. It sounds like a cool YouTube series too.
Oh yeah.
And I could see with your hair, Layla, that you could kind of pull off the kind of the same, like a female version if you wanted to.
Mrs. Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, there are some female Jack Sparrows out there, and they actually have some better makeup than I do.
Oh wow!
It's funny. My wife was she always asks to borrow my makeup sometimes because I have an extensive makeup collection for my costume of Jack Sparrow, because I have to do tanner and all sorts of crazy stuff. And, yeah.
Now, I heard that Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp, actually went and got a gun, too. Like a specific antique gun, pistol.
Yeah. Yep, he has a flintlock pistol that's actually from a certain era. I actually have a replica of that, so.
Oh, my gosh. So, do you ever meet him?
I've never met Johnny Depp, and I'm sad because I want him to sign my compass for my costume. But some of the other Jack Sparrow impersonators that I've run into over the years, they have met him.
Someday
he'll recognize me, hopefully for a better video or some shindig I did versus some other thing, but
one day. But so yeah, I mean, obviously you're turning this into appearances as Captain Jack. You're making this into a business. When did the entrepreneur bug first bite you?
I mean, it started really early on. I mean, when I was, I think I was like 6 years old, I wanted to start, you know, the first company I ever want to start, and it was stupid. It was called Zap'em, and it was supposed to be like this. I was going to make all these like really cool electric weapons for the government or something. Cause I played some like Command and Conquer game, and I thought I was going to be the master of Tesla energy and something like that. And then I went from there, and I actually started a company called Action Studios, and then Pink Flamingo Films, where I was doing short films. I was going to film school at the time for all that stuff, and media and production. So Action Studios kind of was just a silly one I had started when I was like 11. But Pink Flamingo Films, I actually started doing movies and small films for these miniature film festivals at colleges and high school and stuff. And I was probably around 14, 13 at the time. And I actually took that company and went over to Africa with that company and did a whole, I did a 3-week trip out in Africa and shot probably about 20 hours of video out there that we turned into a number of different things too. So from there, it just kind of went on up, and, you know, the Jack Sparrow stuff is actually kind of where Horizon and my company started. So.
Okay. And with Horizons, I mean, what all do you do in that then?
Horizon kind of incorporates, so really our motto is like, what's on your horizon? And the horizon actually comes kind of from a pirate saying at the end of the first movie of Jack Sparrow says, that's where I actually started. It was right shortly after the Jack Sparrow stuff, I started doing it. I'm like, I love it. You know, I'm like, and he says, what, bring me that horizon. And that's where I kind of got the idea of what's on your horizon and for your company, for your business, for your life. So we do websites, we do, video work, we do the costume stuff. We actually I've brought Jack Sparrow into professional business conferences with hundreds of people.
I hope there's video of this somewhere, man.
There is a video of it. Girl screaming right now. Oh my god, yeah. It's Johnny.
There's a video of it, actually, of one of the smaller events I did. There's a video of me doing a speech that actually directly correlates into business, and it's a life principle that I did. Of instead of reinventing the wheel, how you take something that's already been invented and use it to your success. It's called the FedEx principle. So that's a really interesting video to watch as well. So,
so you do websites, you do video work, and this is just all kind of stuff that you have learned along the way on your own? Or, I mean, how much has it been like formal education versus, you know, there's a situation where I need to learn some skills and I teach myself how to get those skills?
A little bit of each. I mean, throughout college, I never knew what I wanted to do exactly. I changed my major like 6 times, and I went to school for video editing and video production and everything like that. I wanted to go to Los Angeles Film School. It was $36,000 a semester. You know, I didn't have that kind of money, and my parents weren't going to pay for my college. So I had to pay my way through college. So, you know, I kind of switched over. I started going to school for computer science, and that's kind of where the website stuff, but really the main education didn't really teach me most of that stuff. I learned most of the stuff about like websites and video on my own and teaching myself, playing around with MySpace back in the day, and Zanga, if anyone remembers that.
Zanga.
I had the coolest profiles, and people would actually pay me to do their profiles.
Wow.
So I did a lot of that stuff, and that's kind of how I did it. And with the video work, I had a guy named Dan Graham, who actually was on, I think, the Miami Dolphins. He's an actual football player. I guess his brother, they did a lot of video work, and he was the one that kind of helped me push into video work and how to do it and train me a little bit on what I needed to know. And then from there, I kind of taught myself everything else I needed to know, and it gets easier and easier because, you know, YouTube can teach you anything
right. So. Well, that's, you know, that's something that like so many people will limit themselves based on like what they've known in the past will only like is like predict their future to what they're going to be able to do with their lives. And it's like every time I hear someone like kind of go off on that tangent, it's like, dude, there was a one point where you didn't know this stuff, and it's just like, learn a new skill. You're not a tree, what Jim Rohn used to say, right? It's like Yeah. You know, it's like, go figure it out. You know, start from, you know, here's where you're at. You know that you don't have a skill, but in this is where you want to be, and get your steps to getting to that point, you know?
And that's what I've really done throughout my entire life, because I don't want to be, I want to be a jack of many trades, pretty much. No pun intended with the Jack Sparrow, but yeah. I want to be into everything, and I really do pick up stuff all the time, you know, the website stuff, but I also, you know, picked up acting. I'm going to be doing bull riding next summer. I've worked with dogs, you know, anything that I've ever had a small interest on, like pirates being, I wanted to be a pirate back in the day, and, you know, I want to be one of the good pirates, and I became a pirate as an adult, and, you know, people always say grow up, but, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. It's not, you can accomplish anything, you just expect it. You can accomplish anything you put your mind to, even silly things like becoming a pirate or a cowboy or something like that. So,
yeah. And that's really good. That's really good that you say that, because, you know, I think what really resonated with me when you said is, I never knew I could be where I am right now. I thought I had to be this path. And you kind of hit it well when you said, I want to do a lot, but also do what I'm having fun doing, sounds like to me. You're having fun doing these things.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just recently listening to the last episode of a fellow podcaster of mine, Zeph Blacksburg. And Zeph actually did like 150 episodes of his show. And, you know, he had a really interesting career as far as, you know, he went to school and was kind of, you know, zigzagging through life and what he wanted to do with himself and all this sort of stuff. And he's come to the realization through his podcasting and interviewing all these higher up folks that really life is just not about, well, it's not about doing what you're expected to do. What it is about is just, if you want to live a certain way, go after it. And so many people, I think, are stuck in a place where they don't want to be because that was kind of what was expected of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
So.
You also remind me of the other guy called, who has that YouTube channel called 52 Skills. We had him on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he learns something new every week. But this is...
That's a great thing. Yeah. I mean, everyone, with the new year coming around, everyone keeps telling me, I keep hearing new year, new me. I'm like, it's new day, new me for me, you know? Every day I can do something new. I can be something new. It's not, I don't need to wait till the whole end of the year to just change everything, you know? You want something, go out there and get it. So,
yeah, for sure.
Really true. Sure. Okay. Well, I like that quote, new day, new me. So, mm-hmm. I like that a lot. It's true.
I don't know if anyone else has said it yet, so
I'm gonna quote you on it in my next post. So on my Instagram, awesome. Layla Alias. Awesome. So new day, Amy. I'm gonna quote you on that. Okay.
Awesome. Tag me on that.
I will totally. I'm gonna tag you on it. Yeah. So what is your Instagram?
Long John Sparrow.
Oh gosh. Okay. 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 Cool. Well. So. Now, another business you have is called Super Gains Fitness. Super Gains Fitness.
Yep.
Tell us more how you got into that, since I am also a fitness person myself.
Well, for a long time, like I my fitness journey kind of started out of military school, you know, because they forced you to get fit. And I got in great shape when I was, you know, 17 years old, and I stopped working out for like a long time. But I was always a scrawny guy, but I was such in shape from military school, I didn't have to work out, and I had a high metabolism. And then I picked it up a little while later after, you know, the breakups and the drama of life and stuff like that. I was just like, I want to get more fit. I want to better myself. And it got to a point after a really bad breakup almost that I was like, you know what? I'm going to become the kind of man that I want, like the woman that I want to marry would want to be with. Yeah. And that's like fitness and personality and everything. It couldn't just be, I didn't want to be a really big buff jock head pretty much and just, you know, just be buff and be stupid and whatever. I really want to educate myself. And I worked out a lot. I got into shape. I helped other people get into shape. I worked out with, you know, I just love working out. I love motivating people. But it wasn't until my younger brother, he's 15 years old. He actually came out and visited me when I was living in Tennessee, he visited me and he was almost as big as me. I had motivated him before I went to Salt Lake City a couple years before that to start getting into shape. He was kind of a little bit bigger kid, and he was uncomfortable with his weight and everything like that. And he asked me to help him lose weight, and I pushed him into it, and he took it off. I mean, he got built, he got ripped. I mean, he was a big, fit guy, and I didn't want my younger brother beating me up. So I'm like, you know what? I'm really working out. I really want to step this up. But I, at the same time, I love how much I motivated my younger brother, and I want to help him get to where I am now at 26. I want to help him, or I was 25 at the time, but I want to help him get to where I am now. And he wants to be Mr. Olympia one day. He wants to be the youngest Mr. Olympia. So he's really going into that. So I'm like, you know what? Hey, bro, you want to start a fitness company for me? Let's do something. Let's make your dreams come true. Let's push you forward. At 15, you can be the CEO of a company with me, and let's do this. And that's really the motivation for starting it. And, you know, he's been the motivation for really keeping with it and, you know, stepping up my fitness journey and helping other people step up their fitness journey as well. So
what is exactly that you do in this company? Do you work out with people? Do you, as you're doing all this other stuff, how are you keeping this business going?
So it started out, I mean, I worked out with people. I found fitness partners, just really kind of motivated people. We did a few like workout programs and stuff like that. But really the breakthrough came in probably the last 5 months or so, where we took something that my dad had actually taught me from a young age about personalities. And I'm like, there's got to be a correlation with fitness and personalities. And so we started doing kind of work with people on, we first evaluated the personality, what kind of personality they were. And then we integrated that with like their fitness plan, their workout, and working out with them. And suddenly we had tons of people wanting to work out with us. We had tons of people seeing tremendous results and enjoying it. Like, people were actually enjoying the gym, not just saying, oh my goodness, I enjoyed the gym, hashtag fit life or whatever. You know, people were actually like getting in there and they were enjoying it. It was fun. And I could really get anyone to go in the gym with me, even if they hated the gym before that. And that's where the business is really starting to be like, oh, wow.
Great.
I mean, people are really wanting
to be a part of this. The personality analysis has taken you off more with the fitness coaching. Or, I mean, are you working out with the people, or are you just coaching them, or you're matching them with the right trainer as well?
For a long time, it was just the working out with people. Now it's, we're talking more with trainers and gyms on how to train really all their personality. So when you sign up for a gym, they're like, okay, what are your fitness goals and whatever? Here's a class we recommend. And sometimes people just don't want to go back to that gym. Yep. They don't want to go back and work out with a personal trainer. I've had a lot of personal trainers myself, and I just stopped working out with them because they didn't feel like they were listening to me. I didn't feel like we connected and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of personal trainers tend to be high-end.
Some are arrogant.
People.
Some are,
And some of them aren't. But,
hate to say,
you know,
that, but yeah.
Each of the, if you, yes. I've had a few of those too. And if you can have each one of them, do it. This isn't just helping my fitness journey. It's not helping other people's fitness journey, but it's helping the whole fitness industry overall. My goal is not to make money, you know, on people making, you know, some workouts that I want to change, like, the overall fitness, because, you know, the United States has a huge problem with fitness and obesity and all sorts of stuff. And it's, you know, the fitness industry, some people are intimidated by it and whatever else. And that's not how it should be. It should be helping everyone. I want to help everyone I have a chance to help be the best version of themselves that they could possibly be.
I love it. I love it. And I think personality analysis is a great factor, because from my own experience, I've worked with trainers that they either make it or break it for you. And I've had people, even my mom, they totally discourage her because she's not at that level. And she's like, I don't want to go back, because she didn't even listen to what I had to say. She was down on me. And so I think that helps match, like, people such as my mom, or people that are so intimidated to go to the gym, find the right person to nurture them and grow them.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that is something that you're helping to fill the gap with a lot of industries that are currently going.
And it works out too, because I'm not a certified personal trainer, and I thought about getting my certification, but I'm like, but there's so many people out there that are certified personal trainers that need work, and they need clients, and they really want to help people, and I have a ability to be a stepping stone to that. So people who have started working out with me, a lot of the people, especially in Nashville, where I did a lot of workout with probably 50, 60 different people, most of them are now, you know, doing training themselves. They're in very experienced training programs, or they're working with a personal trainer that I actually introduced them to, like, hey, this person and you would really click, you know, mm-hmm. this person is really worth you've gotten to the point where you need a personal trainer to get further in your fitness journey and really learn what you want to learn. And I can't help you with that because I don't know and I don't want to pretend to know. I want to match you up with the right person. So
it's perfect because it sounds a lot like, you know, a counselor. You need to find the right counselor for you. And sometimes counselors can make it or break it for you. And that this training session is kind of like a different type of therapy.
Exactly. And, exactly.
I don't know if that's a great correlation,
yeah.
But it's from my own experience, you know, everyone has to find that click.
Exactly.
Okay. So the arts to business and business to arts, that is something very interesting. You've done a little bit of acting, as JC has already mentioned before, that you do impressionism as Captain Jack Sparrow. What's that all about? Tell us a little bit more about A to B and B to A.
Okay. Well, I did mention I did like a few of the seminars as Jack Sparrow, and it took me a little while to get into it. And, you know, my dad, growing up like I was homeschooled, you know, very religious family and stuff like that. So drinking and drunken pirate was just, that was not cool. that made my grandparents mad, made my dad mad. But my dad actually went out one time with me as Captain Jack Sparrow, the Renaissance Fair. And he was walking around with me. He was like, it was like being out with a celebrity. Everyone wanted to come up and take pictures. It's
addicting. Oh my God.
I mean, people love to take pictures. I mean, I go out on random nights just for fun of it. I don't have to make money, but there's money to be made. And you have to be careful, because, I mean, obviously you don't want to make Disney mad and stuff like that. So I'm not marketing Jack Sparrow. It's marketing the arts, the business. How do I help all these, you know, all these artists that I met in Nashville that are singers and starving artists, and, you know, these people that have a passion for something, but they don't know how to make money with it unless they hit it big, unless they hit that lucky break, unless they hit that lucky producer. And there's the business world. There's a whole business world full of people that, you know, they sit in the office in the cubicles and the big buildings and stuff like that, and they wear the suits that you can mix in with them. And when I did this seminar, I went up there and gave a whole presentation about an actual business, a principle of life for business and how to make money. And I did it as Jack Sparrow, and I did it in a way as to talk like him and do it all like it was a very different experience for me. And from there, it was like, it went up, and I was like, wow, I mean, there's really huge business opportunities here besides just getting paid to, you know, I got paid to go to bars, or I got paid to go to an event out in Vegas or something like that. But this is actually like, you know, using something that's already been invented. It's instead of reinventing the wheel, you're taking something that's already been invented. You're using it to really pump up something that's big, and you're not having, you know, starving artists. You're having people that are actually using their talents to make everyone's business better. So
yeah,
to get the point across.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one speaking of points and doing presentations, would you do a TEDx as Captain Jack?
Oh my God.
A TEDx? Yeah. I would love to. I was so actually cool. Watching one of those things the other day. So yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, I guess
should totally do it.
There's some event coming up, some boxing match. There's a possibility of me.
Oh my gosh, boxing Jack Sparrow!
I wouldn't be boxing, unfortunately, or probably
you would be the referee.
Me, but yeah, I'd be the one kind of maybe like standing up in the middle and like calling it out or something, like the referee. It'd be interesting.
That would be cool.
But yeah.
Now, I do have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
John. Now, this is a Disney character. This is somewhat of your own style. Are you dealing with any copyright issues?
I am not. It does impersonations. It does kind of fall in the realm of cosplay. It's very thin ice. I mean, you really have to be careful. Same with any personations. So me, I'm not selling Jack Sparrow. I'm more selling the really the experience more than anything. And I do have to be careful. I can't just sit out there and be like, Captain Jack Sparrow approves this brand. And that's why, yes, I'm a Jack Sparrow impersonator or Captain Jack Sparrow impersonator, but I have my own name. I'm not Higher Captain Jack Sparrow. I'm Long John Sparrow. And that's my name, and that's what it is. And you just have to be careful. You don't want to be doing anything that would really make Disney mad, because they are a huge company and they can come down on you really hard. But as far as impersonators go, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people that are listening probably have heard about the Elsa cosplayer. Her name's Anna Faith. She became huge, and actually Disney ended up offering her work. She works for Disney as like an official Elsa cosplayer or impersonator now. So you just have to be careful. Oh, you don't want to do videos. You don't want to sell it. Like, I can't just go out and make my own video and sell it. I can, you know, I can go out and do adventures as Jack Sparrow on YouTube, and I'm not going to get in any trouble like that. As long as I'm being original with my content, my costume is very screen accurate, about 98% screen accurate. But then there's a couple parts that I've actually added my own flair to it, because that's what Johnny Depp did with his costume. He added his own little bits to it, and I actually add things as my adventures as Jack Sparrow goes out. I added things that I've found on my adventures to my costume. So
One of the things that we've been kind of talking about and alluding to is personalities and how yes. much that's been helping you with your business. And, you know, one way that you're able to keep a ton of your stuff straight, I imagine, is that you're getting to realize the people that you work with before you kind of go into any problems with them. Like, a lot of the problems that you will have, and this is kind of the way that I work, is that you can kind of see them before they actually happen, right? Because you know their personalities.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And the personalities, I mean, I've always had a talent of seeing things before they happen. It's always helped me in jobs, it's helped me in careers, and it's helped me in everything. But, you know, identifying someone's personality and being able to do that in a very short period of time, you know, there's the Myers-Briggs and all that other stuff out there, but it takes a lot of time. And you can't just, before you go into an interview or before you go into, you know, a client's place, you can't be like, all right, fill this out really quick and then we'll talk.
Right.
And there's a few questions. Like, I have a few questions that I ask, and they're very, like, very short questions, but also being able to like look at someone's body language, look at how they talk, and be able to figure out their personality for the most part. And then if you have a chance to ask those other questions, you can ask those questions and you can get it in there. And you do it, there's the intermediate or the basic one, where it's just you kind of figure it out by how they're acting, and then you ask them the questions, which is like the basic. And then there's a very advanced one where you really drill down into, you know, everything about them and all that stuff like that. But
cool. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we were talking about before the show is that it's mm-hmm. actually kind of like when you compare it to the Myers-Briggs, for example, and I've talked about this in the blog, but I don't think I've ever brought it up on the show before. When you compare it to the Myers-Briggs, which is something that I learned quite in depth back when I was in grad school, Myers-Briggs, you can change personality, at least in my opinion, like almost in the same day, right? Because it's so minute in the differences of the different letters and things like that. And with what you've been able to employ with your work is basically just like four different types that kind of correlate with the DISC test. But actually, I kind of like your labels for it. You want to kind of go over that real quick?
Yeah. So there's the four labels, and you know, we have a whole website for this too. It's personalitymasteries.com. It does have an in-depth more look at, since we don't want to go into all the extreme details, but there's the four personalities. There's an amiable, a driver, and an analytical and expressive. Amiables are going to be kind of the more like easygoing. They're not going to, they don't want to have conflict with anyone. They hate conflict. I mean, that's their biggest thing. Drivers, they don't like things, you know, being out of control, out of order and stuff like that. And same with analyticals. Analyticals are very detail oriented. They want everything in order, A, B, C, D. Expressives, they like to have fun. And then you have your secondary personality, because you have a first, you have your primary first personality, and then you have your secondary personality, and sometimes your personalities can flip. And I take this into every business endeavor, everything I've ever done, including my marriage and everything, because you get better you get along better with your spouse, you get along better with your siblings, your in-laws, you know, your colleagues, your clients, everything. I mean, learning someone's personality, learning that they are the opposite of you, and what turns them on, what turns them off, what makes them angry, and, you know, what makes them just click with you. You know, you don't want to go into a interview and say the wrong thing and really turn that person off to you and just be like, you know what, we're not hiring this person. So,
wow. I like that. I like it, but I don't like it. But I think it's important to have it. And the reason I don't like it, when I say I don't like it, is, for example, we did this test before the show, and the way you we did this analysis, I was really curious to know. I was like, okay, read me. And part of me is wondering, like, thinking more about this. Like, is that really me? Maybe that is. I never knew that. Or to change that.
Well, that's the best part about the whole thing, is once you do learn, like, I've been trained from this from a very young age by my dad, and honestly, it's probably, I wouldn't say warped my personality, but it's molded my personality, where I can change my personality to, you know, the people I'm around, and I can be a more easygoing person, I can be a very caring person, or I can be the person that's at the group in my one of my college classes back in the day, where I was like, hey, gotta get this done, it's gotta be done perfect, you know, that we're gonna get an A on this, and I can mold the people I'm around, and that really helps out, because it makes life easier, and you can see it, because really, you know, everyone's got their biggest strengths and biggest weaknesses. You know, your biggest weakness is your biggest strength misapplied, and, you know, you have to learn what your biggest strength is, and then that's going to be your biggest weakness, and then how do you take that weakness and turn it into a strength all the time?
Right, for sure.
No, I think that's great. I think that's great what you're saying. It's awesome, because it gives you a chance to analyze and learn, more importantly, to work with other people that are not like you. And that's something that I am learning to implement with my clients and future audiences, etc. So I love it. Thank you for doing that for me.
It was fun.
So future endeavors, I mean, like, it's already 2017. Can't believe it already.
Wow, man.
Seriously, it feels like we're in the future now.
Exactly.
Like, I think it was, I thought it was like, you know, 2016, I thought it was like, oh yeah, I can get used to this. But 2017, I mean, to me personally, like, Layla and I were still in college, and
yeah,
in 10 years ago. Yeah. that's going to show you how old we are. And anyway, what are some of the things that you got going on in 2017?
Oh yeah, I mean, like you said, it's 2017, and it's crazy to think now. But like, all those future movies, it's coming closer to 2020, which is supposed to be where we're having flying cars and stuff. And, you know,
well, I'm looking forward to. Yeah. You know, at the same time, I'm looking forward to it, but I just know I'm getting older. But, you know, maybe when what the singularity comes in 2035, that, you know, we'll all be good, and we can plug ourselves into the, you know, the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome. Forever. Yeah.
So, but yeah. So what's going on?
Well, I got, the fitness industry, the fitness stuff, that's really starting to blow up. That's really exciting. I didn't think it was going to go this fast. I thought it was going to take years. So I'm very close to my own fitness challenge, my own personal fitness goal. You know, that's really exciting as well. The business to arts and the arts to business, that's becoming huge as well. And it's really starting to bring in a lot of people. And I got I'm helping a few people work on their businesses and stuff like that. I've got a few clients that are out in Nashville that I'm going to be doing some new stuff for their new albums coming out, for their with their website work and all that type of stuff. I'm going to be bull riding this summer, so that's going to be exciting. So,
yeah, be careful, yeah, so, please. Be careful.
And you also mentioned that you're going to be helping your wife start her new business.
Yes. So she's going to be She loves photography. She's always loved photography, and I really want to help her reach her dreams. And to me, being newly married, I'm still learning a lot of things, but really, I always try to put her above myself. So her dreams, her stuff, everything she wants to do really kind of comes first. And I've really had a head start from being a young age and an entrepreneur in this stuff, so I can help her, you know, with a website, you know, help her with the business end of things so she can actually do what she's really passionate about. So
that's really nicely said, because if you don't have a successful partner, it really becomes difficult. And I have to say this, my husband's been so supportive in me, and I'm just so glad you're being supportive of your wife and something that she's, you know, trying to get into. And I'll be honest, photography was the number one thing in my wedding as a, for a vendor. So I think it's awesome. It was the number one thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you from my experience that, you know, having a photographer that you mesh with and that they know on point what they're supposed to be doing, and, you know, you communicate with them, and, you know, that they actually have a plan of how things are going to go down. I mean, that if you can bring that to the table with her, then I definitely think that you guys are going to have some success there for sure.
And it's going to be exciting too, because again, I've been teaching her about the personality stuff too, and I would be the one helping her too with any backup work she needs. So she would be able to work with the clients and, you know, have like know their personality, and that way they're not, you know, colliding, they're meshing together, and it's a lot easier to start something up, because starting a business is hard, but photography is huge. And whenever I'm Jack Sparrow, you know, I have my own personal photographer now, so that's a plus too.
Yeah, that's gonna be real cool.
There you go. Yeah.
Cool. So as we're kind of moving on here to the rapid fire questions, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. So name three of your top favorite books that you tell others about.
One of them is going to be The Bro Code. So silly, but it's a funny little book that's based off of How I Met Your Mother. It's just something that...
Oh, The Bro Code, you know, right.
Yeah, The Bro Code. So you got... It's a funny little book, but, you know, you got to keep humoring things. And really, the whole point of it is just, you know... There's kind of a moral code to the world, really. And if you are a decent human being to other people and you can trust other people, that's the point of it. And that's why I try to really teach other guys, because I like to work with a lot of young guys, and, you know, the millennial generation is not really known for a lot of great things. So, you know, teach them to be more trustable. And that's why I'm like, hey, just go read this funny book. It's a funny book, but at the same time, it's really teaching you how to be a trustworthy person.
Right. So. You know, what's cool about that is that the audio version is actually done by Neil Patrick Harris, who does Ray Stinson the entire way through. It is.
I didn't even know there was an audio version.
It is the best thing ever. It is just it's so cool. So definitely look that one up. What's your next one?
Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's another really great book. And then Community Business Partnerships is another book that I actually had. My dad actually had the chances of co-authoring that. And I don't read a ton of books, and I probably should read more. Most of the books I read are like computer books that nobody would find interesting whatsoever. So,
well,
but that one, that one's really good. And that goes into that's where kind of the business, the arts of business and business arts is. How do you connect community with business? Because community and business have always gone together. And if you have great community, you have great business, you can eliminate a lot of problems, you know, everything from like, you know, gangs to like just poverty in general, if you're really working together with community and businesses. So.
Cool.
Wow. What social norm took a 180 degree turn versus 10 years ago?
Oh boy. I mean, like the internet in general, I mean, it's just back in the day. I mean, it was just, I say back in the day, now I feel old.
it's not so fun, is it?
When I was a kid walking up to school both ways, you know, but yeah, I mean, just the internet in general. I mean, internet has changed everything, and the internet it is a social norm. Everything about the internet is a social norm now. I mean, you have Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, all these things, Reddit and all this other stuff. I mean, you know, back in the day, if you really wanted to learn something, you'd have to you have to go to school for it. You'd have to ask your dad about how to do it. If I want to go fix my car now, I look up a YouTube video and I already have the answer. So, you know, I guess that social norm there.
Right. Right. Well, and another thing is that when back in the day, as you were saying, I mean, you were a geek if you were using the internet. Like, I remember when I was in high school, me being the better person that I was, like, I would be the kid that was talking about, you know, AIM and talking on the internet, you know, chat rooms and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then this will really date me. Napster was big. And, you know, the thing was, is that people didn't know exactly what I was talking about. But as time has continued on, I'm kind of the one, the outside one looking in now. Like, everybody's all, you know, plugged in. And I'm just like, here, just doing my creative thing, you know, just like watching all these consumers.
Back in the day when LimeWire and Napster were the thing, and now it's like we don't know anything.
Right? Exactly.
I know.
The technology that's out nowadays, I never, like, it's just like, you know, people are always saying, oh, that will never happen. I'm like, you know, 5 years ago, we never thought this would happen.
Well, you know, it's already, I think it's just today that today was actually the 10th anniversary of the iPhone.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh, are you serious? With 10 years already?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that, like, here you are. Think about back then where it was such a big deal that you could, like, touch something on a screen and it would actually do something, right? Like this.
Yeah.
And now it's like, if it doesn't do that, it like, you know, makes you upset, right?
Yeah, actually, 10 years ago, I was working at Verizon. So, and that was before Verizon got the iPhone. They didn't have the iPhone yet. It was exclusively at AT&T, and they were trying to bring out, like, the BlackBerry Storm, which was a catastrophe, and, you know, all the other Five Touch and the other weird ones that they had going on. And it, when the iPhone came out, it was like, whoa, you know, I still had my Motorola Razr.
Yeah, I had three Razrs in a row, and each one broke the same way, the ribbon between the top and the bottom. It's just like,
Mine still runs to this day.
Really? So. Well, don't flip it open too much.
Yeah, exactly.
I like flipping mine open because it reminds me of
the tricorders from Star Trek, you know? Like, maybe I'm just, I'm geeking out there.
Yeah. I'm more of a Star Wars person. I'm sorry.
Tricorders, even on the movies that they have, you know?
I'm just giving you a hard time because I know exactly what you're talking about. You know?
All right.
I'm part of the Comic-Con world. I know.
All right.
I'm a late bloomer, guys. I'm a late bloomer. I mean, I didn't watch Star Wars until I went to NASA, and my friends, I told them I have never seen Star Wars, and they were like, stop everything. We're going to go get VHS.
Which is hilarious, because, you know, your influence of going into NASA was because you actually grew up in Houston versus everybody else that would want to work for NASA is because we, you know, watched Star Wars or Star Trek.
Exactly. I know. This was not even 10 years ago. We all had DVDs. They were like, no, we want you to see what we saw on VHS. So we went to the Cape Canaveral Library, got all VHS of Star Wars, and we watched it from our apartment. And then we would have like a Apollo 13 movie get-togethers, and we would call out all the areas that we've been to, we worked at. And then when I would watch Star Wars, I was like, oh my God, you like this? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I see it now. I'm getting into it. I'm like, okay, I like it. I don't know why I missed out. I'm such a late bloomer.
Yeah,
sorry.
No.
But it was fun. They preserved that experience on VHS for me. They're like, don't do DVD.
Well, I still have the VHS. I don't have the DVD of the first three, at least.
Well, speaking of new...
the original.
Speaking of interesting sci-fis right now, have you guys seen The 100 yet or heard of it?
No.
Oh, wow.
The show?
Yeah, the show.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Recently, it was on Netflix. It was one of those recommended things that I was just, you know, was just kind of cruising around, and it was like The 100, because I'd heard of the 4400 back in, like, I think it was like the 90s or early 2000s or something like that. And so The 100, I started watching that, and come to find out, it actually stars some folks that used to be in Lost and used to be in Battlestar Galactica. So, what? Yeah. So if you're into any one of those, then you would definitely like this one. And
I love it.
Going into its fourth, I think it's doing its fourth season right now. So there's only three seasons, and I think they're like 15 episodes a piece. So it really wouldn't be that hard to get into it. But yeah.
I wonder if I can watch it on Netflix.
Oh yeah. No, that's where I've been watching it. That's where we've been watching it. So.
Okay. I got
to. Yeah. If it's not on Netflix, I won't end up watching it until like all the seasons are on Netflix, because I like to binge it.
That kind of funny? Like, people will be like, oh yeah, now that the series is over, I can actually watch it now. That's something. Yeah.
You know what? That's so true, because I think today, I'm sorry to cut you guys off, but I think today's shows are no longer going to be on. I think today's shows are not going to be as frequently on TV. People are just going to go straight to Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To binge watch. Do you think eventually will change?
Oh yeah.
I can hope so, because I mean, I hate waiting week to week for an episode. Like when Game of Thrones came out, I have to wait till the whole season's over before I start watching it, and I have to stay off Facebook because otherwise I'll get spoilers. And you know,
I still haven't watched it yet.
So it's like same with all the other ones. It's changing, and you know, I have to wait till at least three seasons are out for some shows, because I'm like, I don't want to, I hate cliffhangers and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes, like, I love how Netflix just brings out an entire season of some shows and just plops it on there and they're like, watch it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's, for me, I never had Netflix until I married my wife and then realized that there was a family account being passed around through multiple states and whatever. But yeah, so we all use the same one, and it's really interesting to see how everybody uses the one account to watch different shows.
Yeah, actually, Tennessee, that's illegal. It's funny. No, I don't know if they'll actually enforce it. It's illegal in Tennessee to share a Netflix account, but I don't actually think I've known anyone that's actually had their own Netflix account. It's like this mysterious person that owns a Netflix account and suddenly kicks you off of it.
until someone forgets the password, and then they figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, I heard they're actually doing a family plans now with Netflix. I actually met a lady in Portland who worked for Netflix.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I told her flat out, okay, so why is the $5.99 deal still on? Because that was the original plan. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, buy one DVD at a time, and it's like $5.99. And I said to her, why does that plan still exist? She's like, you have no idea how many senior citizens love that plan. If we get rid of that plan, we lose a lot of money. Because some people just want one DVD a week, and they love, and it's mostly the elderly. Right.
Because it gets them something to look forward to, maybe. Yeah, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, and they're not familiar with the internet or streaming. They're just
Blockbuster's gone, and Family Video's almost nowhere. So.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't even. Yeah, Blockbuster, Hollywood Video. Remember the 5 days? Everything's 5 days. Yeah. But. Yeah, she was telling me. It was cool to meet someone who worked for Netflix, and I met a guy who actually owned Netflix for a little bit, and then he sold it before it got big.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, he felt like that was the biggest mistake he ever made.
What's the smallest decision you've made that has made the largest impact on your life?
That one's a tough one. Let's see here.
Selling Netflix. Sorry.
It would probably be going on the show Nashville. Out of nowhere, I just got somebody I was hanging out with at the time. They're just like, hey, they need extra people for the show Nashville today. They're shooting a concert scene. Are you free? I'm like, yeah, I've always wanted to kind of do extra work. I love TV and video and stuff. So, like, you know, screw it. I'll do it. And that changed my life. I mean, in every way. I mean, I got to be a regular actually accredited extra on the show. I'm on IMDb for like two episodes now or something like that. But and then I actually met my wife on the show, so that definitely is a life-changing moment. So
it's cool. Wow. And don't they, I mean, they do a lot of random film in Nashville, don't they?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's tons of films and, you know, all sorts of indie stuff. I mean, it's, I'd say probably the hipster capital of the world besides Seattle, maybe. So
yeah. I know one of our past guests, Dane Maxwell, has actually, I don't know if he bought or has been renting a house there just so he can be closer to that whole creative environment, which, you know, you would think that, you know, in the day of the internet that, you know, you could, you know, do it from wherever you happen to be at the time. But yeah, for him, I mean, you know, where he's at, where he owns like 16, you know, very successful companies, and he can drop the $10,000 anytime he needs to go learn something. Why not move to Nashville? You know, so
exactly. It's booming economy. Even during when the recession happened and all that stuff, I mean, they kept their economy going. And right now, it's one of the top growing cities in the U.S. I believe, and I think the last time I checked, it was about 70 people are moving there a day. So it's crazy. It's growing exponentially. They just need to fix the road systems and they'll be good. So,
John, if you woke up tomorrow as your 10-year-old self and all your memories were still intact, what would you do?
The funniest part about this question is I was actually thinking about this the other day. I call it shower thoughts, the random thoughts you have while you're showering. I'm like, what happens if I just... I don't know. I don't... Like, I always thought about, like, would I do the same things? Would I live the same life that I did? Or would I change something? Would I do a butterfly effect on myself? And honestly, like, would I change small things? Because, like, parts of it, like, there's been horrible parts of my life. But those horrible parts have led me to the great things that are happening now. And parts of me start like, well, if I change one thing, maybe I'd never meet my wife and that'd be horrible. Or I'd never have my beautiful dogs and that'd be horrible. But then there's some parts like, I don't know if I would change a thing. I just might be a nicer person. I might learn some new things, but I would try to not give a butterfly effect on myself and, you know, mess everything up in the future. Cause I think I like where I am a lot. So
another, what you're saying is that you would just try not to screw stuff up.
Yeah. I try to do almost everything the same and maybe not do, you know, some of the things that maybe made me a jerk when I was 17, 18, mm-hmm. 19, you know, be a little bit nicer of a person, but at the same time, I try to keep on the same track that got me to where I am now.
Gotcha.
Sounds like Jumanji.
Yeah. New movie coming out of Jumanji.
Really?
No way! Oh, Dwayne I can't the Rock Johnson, watch it.
So. Wow. Cool. Oh. What's the secret to achieving personal freedom?
Personal freedom. Entrepreneurship, I'd have to say. I mean, one, believing in yourself, but entrepreneurship, owning your own company. I mean, when you're not, even sometimes, yeah, I mean, you can own a job, but there's a difference between owning a job and owning a company. Mm-hmm. Or having a job and owning a company. You can have your own company, but you're enslaved to it, and being enslaved is like the worst thing. I mean, even like NFL stars who are getting paid millions of dollars, they are enslaved to what they do.
Oh yeah.
And I was watching the show Ballers with Dwayne the Rock Johnson, who's a huge, I'm a huge fan of him. I think he's a great guy and he's a great influence for me as far as fitness and everything goes.
Could you ever keep up with his diet?
Oh, I wish. I mean, I try to eat that much. I had his alarm clock for a while, and it'd be The Rock waking you up at like 4 a.m. Whenever The Rock actually gets up, he would tap something on his phone, and everyone that had the app, it would wake them up and be like, shut up and get motivated. And that's my best Dwayne Rock Johnson impression. But I don't think I could ever impersonate him. I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. Yeah. I'm not Samoan, so.
His diet's crazy, though, but go ahead.
But anyways, yeah, I was watching the show Ballers, and it's like, you know, these guys are making millions of dollars. They get these million-dollar contracts and stuff like that. But, you know, they don't get to go do things like paintball and, you know, get to go do things. And they mess something up. If they make a bad decision, it'll affect their entire career and ultimately make them go broke because everyone's after their money. You know, everyone, their family wants to get in on it. And some people's families are great. Some people's families are horrible. And it's not a true story, but it's a kind of look into it because everyone's like, oh, I wish I was these movie stars' lives. I wish these sports players, you know, they get to make so much money. What do they have to complain about? But, you know, they're enslaved by what they do. And when you're an entrepreneur, you know, you can make some money. You can make a lot of money, but you have the freedom to do what you want. You know, I love it because I can take off of work for a week and go to Nashville, or I can just take off for the day because, you know, I'm like, oh, I'll bring my laptop with me while I'm on set of Nashville, and if somebody needs a website fixed, I can jump on, get it fixed really quick while I'm waiting or something like that. But, you know, I can travel as much as I want. I've gotten to travel all over the country and even over to Africa and stuff like that. And that's what I think gives you true freedom, is not being enslaved by anything specific, whether it be a job or money, or, you know, I have to have the newest and best iPhone and spend $700 on that versus, you know, go get a plane ticket and go somewhere, you know, right. Enjoy life a little bit.
Right. Cool, man. John, as we're closing out here, and you know, we just talked about the way that you achieve personal freedom is becoming an entrepreneur. You know, if someone is, you know, wanting to be the next John Boersma, or, you know, wants to become an entrepreneur, what are three or four tactics that you would suggest to them, or pointers even, to get started in doing something that they would like to do?
My first suggestion definitely would be don't assume that anything is really a stupid idea or something that you can't make money on, especially in today's now world. I mean, people make money doing ridiculous things. I love the saying, I was on Facebook or something, and somebody's like, do you ever think you have a stupid idea? Remember, someone once brought up a meeting about making a movie about sharks and tornadoes. So, you know, and I love that saying. I'm like, you know what? That's true. And for me, like, I've kind of lived my life by that. It's like, I wanted to be a pirate when I was young. I always thought it was a really cool lifestyle. Obviously not the really traditional evil pirates that they were, but I loved it, and I've done it. I've become it when I was growing up, and that would be, just don't assume that something's not going to work out. And then get up and actually do something. Don't procrastinate. Find what it is that you can actually stay focused on. Remember that 20 minutes, if every interruption costs 20 minutes of productivity. So if you're working on something, if you're trying to pound something out, just set aside an hour or 2 hours to do it straight through without any interruption, because every time you have an interruption, it's 20 minutes that you're wasting. So, because you have to get back into the mindset, and that goes for any line of work, anything you're doing. Even when I'm trying to build something, because I do construction some as well, and you know, every interruption, I'm like, okay, what was I doing? What was that measurement? I have to, oh, geez. And so, but yeah, those are a couple things. And then, connect with people that have similar goals to you, and connect with people that, you know, can help you achieve your life vision. But while you're helping them achieve your life vision, really figure out what your life vision is. There's this thing called the vision circle, which it's pretty much you have list out everything that you're passionate about and how it intercedes with everyone else's passions. And when you're helping others, you're helping yourself, because helping others will help yourself in a non-selfish way. Because when everyone's helping each other, you get a lot more happiness out of life. So
cool. And if they want to find out more about that vision circle or just get in contact with you about anything else that we discussed today, where can they find you?
You got a couple of different ways. You can go to my website, johnshorizon.com, J-O-N-S, not J-O-H-N. So johnshorizon.com. And then, or just go to my Instagram page. I'm always on there posting new crazy stuff and unicorn pictures and stuff. So Long John Sparrow is that. So it's L-O-N... J-J-O-N Sparrow, like the pirate. So Long John Sparrow or my website. We also have supergainsfitness.com if you're really interested in the fitness stuff. Gains is G-A-I-N-Z, so Gains with a Z. But supergainsfitness.com, you can check that out. And there's contact buttons on there and phone numbers and stuff like that. So, but yeah, Instagram usually, or email or whatever. Okay. Just shoot me an Instagram message or something like that, and all right. You know, I Instagram a lot, so I'll get back to you within minutes usually. So,
all right.
Thanks a lot for coming on the show, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely a pleasure. Yeah. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun.
And there you guys have it. Thank you, John, for coming on the show with Layla and myself. I'm sure you guys can see why I wanted him on. He's been involved with starting businesses his entire life, so lots of good stuff that he can share with us. Sounds to me that he has quite a bit of opportunity going on into the rest of 2017 here. And, you know, that's the thing. When you're starting out, don't be afraid to try different things. You know, you don't have to put all your eggs in one basket and hope just that one thing works. You know, just keep trying things until something works. Or if you're in John's situation, you know, just make sure that they all pan out to eventually all work. You know, that's because that's what it seems like everything's panning out for him this year. You know, we talked about a ton of things in this one, and all of them are linked from our show notes at newinceptions.com/73. And show note extras for this episode include videos that John wanted to make sure you guys saw. The first of which is one of the videos of him giving a presentation as Long John Sparrow. And he also sent a couple of his favorite inspirational videos. One is by Prince EA called Everybody Dies But Not Everybody Lives. And the other one is a TEDx speech by Sean Acor called The Happy Secret to Better Work. I want to make sure that you guys also get the idea of what John has to go through to prep for his Jack impersonation. So I'm also including Alice and Tabitha's transformation video. And, you know, I guess it goes to show you that what he was saying was true, that even women dress up as Jack Sparrow. So check those out if you want to carry on the conversation a little bit further. But that about wraps things up for session 73. Be sure to check back next week as Daniel and I have the great conversation with another young entrepreneur motivational speaker by the name of Alexis Paris. Alexis is 20 years old and recently wrote a book about why she left college to actually pursue her dreams. In our interview, we find out what it means to live a life of abundance, why she started her company Anomalies at Work, and how people of any age can seek out mentors. So again, that's all there is to session 73. Thanks for joining Layla, myself, and Long John Sparrow, John Boersma. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. We'll see you back here next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.